Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're just a couple of best friends and,
oh, yeah,
and credentialed Clippers media folks who bring you Clippers news 5 days a week here at Locked On Clippers.
Yes, all the Locked On podcast networks coming at you 5 days a week. Check them out. If you got a team, you got a show.
That's right. With the offseason rapidly approaching, it's cool to figure out what's going on with other teams, how maybe they're yeah. feeling about trades or their chances at free agency picks, mm-hmm. most notably like a Marcus Morris, perhaps. So, yeah, check out the whole network there. And, man, before we get started, I got to get something off my chest.
What?
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar.
Go to Built Bar. It's about to get real.
Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
Oh, yeah.
That's LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for 20% off your next order. All right, so let's get into it. We're going to be kicking things off today with a worry level assessment. The season, as I said up top, is rapidly approaching.
Next month.
training camp is beginning in a period of weeks. I think it's time to take a look at how worried we are coming into this season. We got a couple of actionable news items. Obviously, we've been worried about the Marcus Morris free agency. There's also some news that's coming out about the Players Association meeting, agreeing to the restart of the season, and maybe not all the... No Clippers apparently being there for yes. the conversation. And then we're going to talk. We've got some other kind of stuff going on. There was a power ranking of the last five seasons for all 30 NBA teams. So we'll let you know where the Clippers fell on there, as well as what we thought about that. Mm-hmm. And then there is the mock draft talks are heating up. Obviously, the Knicks have the Clippers' first round pick this year.
Yes.
And looks like they might have themselves a little heater in there. And then in shavings, which is where we just kind of open up the collective kitchen drawer of the NBA, see what loose ends are in there, kind of see what's shaking around.
Yeah.
We got some Kawhi news, some Lou Will stuff, as well as some big news for PG. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes, welcome to worry level assessment heading into 2021. We've been watching too much voting stuff.
So now, level orange.
Yeah, so now everything is, there's a bunch of graphics flying around the non-existent screen. So yeah, training camps begin probably December 1st.
That's what it's looking like.
Season is just here for sure.
So I'll open the floor to you first. Like, how worried are you right now?
My biggest issue is they need to just start free agency right now.
So that's...
I know that it's like the deadline for free agency is like this fake thing where it's like, wow, no, teams can't communicate with players until this one day. It's like, that doesn't happen. They just need to get this figured out.
I'm imagining all free agents with just earmuffs on being like, I can't hear you. Sorry, I can't take these off.
But for the Clippers specifically, it would help so much to just get this done, get the guys re-signed that we need to get re-signed, and I'd feel a lot better going into training camp. We have an incomplete team right now.
Right, and I mean, I'm 100% with you. That's step one. Just get the team together.
Yeah.
You know, before we can even, you know, see what Ty Lue is going to be able to do with this offense. You know, his coaching staff also hasn't been fully completed, mm-hmm. Which is the other thing that does highly worry me. You know, coming into this with so little time, I just don't know how you can coordinate efforts between, you know, multiple assistant coaches.
Your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, which is what Ty Lue wants. Like,
yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff up in the air.
Especially for a coaching staff that's going to be asked to not just be super specialized. From what we've heard from Ty Lue, he wants people who are multifaceted, mm-hmm. who are going to be able to, I guess, see the forest for the trees, but be able to interact sort of on all facets of the game plan. I think it's really difficult to get everybody on one page and get to a singular voice sort of by that time period. We'll talk a little bit about the coaching situation at the end of this segment, but we got to talk about this plan to restart the season.
Yes.
So essentially the deal that was brought up by the NBA has been what tentatively agreed to by the Players Association?
Tentatively. And like we've seen the words like it's inevitable thrown out in some tweets. So for all intents and purposes, season start in December 22nd for this segment.
Yeah. The season will be beginning on December 22nd, games on Christmas, you know, everybody gets a gift. But on this call with the Players Association, apparently from a report of Sabrina Merchant, awesome, she's over there.
Yeah, shout out Sabrina.
Check her out. The Clippers were one of two teams to not have a rep for their team on this call to agree to the restart.
Seems absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, does this worry you?
It's more of just from a... I guess... I don't know if worry is the right word. I'm just confused. Why are you not on the call?
What were you doing?
What were you doing? And it was us and the Pistons, right?
Yeah.
Which also doesn't make any sense.
Makes no damn sense. I guess the thing
was it just a scheduling issue? Or like, why weren't they on the call?
A team in the like in the Eastern time zone and the West Coast time? So
they had their own call?
I fully don't know what to make of this. Do we start to worry again about a bubble situation where, you know, wherein we saw a team that, you know, didn't want to be there?
Yeah. A lot of extenuating circumstances for a couple players.
Yes. By a few accounts, there was a general feeling that the Clippers were not a team that wanted to participate in the bubble, certainly through its continuation.
For sure. Man, I don't know. Because it's not a bubble situation, I have less of a worry about that. But it is curious, because even so, if you look at the teams that wanted to supposedly just stop playing in the bubble, it was the Lakers and the Clippers. Lakers were still on this call. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Terrence Mann wasn't on this call.
So, like, you bring up an interesting thing, because I'm not sure if Terrence Mann lost his starting spot as the team rep, because...
it's like some of the wheels are already falling off before the season starts. I don't like it.
In this article from Sabrina, which I mentioned, the NBA Players Association has Mann listed as the team rep, but apparently sources to the team indicated that Patrick Patterson is in fact the rep and Terrence Mann is sort of the alternate.
What? So and either way, one of them needed to be on this call.
I will say this, if Patrick Patterson is somehow the rep, it makes sense that there wasn't a Clippers person there because he was, I don't know, probably watching a movie, or he's maybe not going to be with this team next year. So
that's fair.
Just kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know about this.
hey man, I got a lot of shit I got to do today.
I don't love this that there wasn't somebody there, but I do think that this situation is different in the bubble in that, I mean, this is still, even though it's 10 games shorter, much closer to a regular NBA season.
Yeah.
And I think that it's fair to not be psyched with the way in which it's starting with the truncated timeline and everything.
Yes.
You know, the Clippers were vocal about wanting more time coming into the season.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you know, I don't think they're going to be pouting when that season begins. Like, they're not going to be psyched.
Let's hope not.
They're not going to be psyched, but I'm hoping that this isn't something too big to worry about.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is, yeah, because I'm getting a little, I read the article and I was like, God damn. it's just one of those, like, it's one of those things, those specifically Clipper things, where it's probably not a big deal.
Yeah.
But if something does happen, this will be remarked on by every anti-Clipper thing in media. They're like, oh, also fun note, Clippers were only one. You know what I mean?
I'm just imagining someone sleeping through the meeting and like Dennis, who's like the fantastic
shout out to Dennis, dude.
Team PR rep for the Clippers. I'm imagining him like pounding on Patrick Patterson's door and he's Pat? Like, Pat, you gotta wake up, dude.
Hey, Pat. Yeah. Pat. Sorry, Mr. Patterson. No, it's weird. I don't know how I feel about it.
Worry level 1 through 3. 3 being the highest.
1 through 3. Let's do 1 through 10. That I feel like
I'm 1 through 3.
I feel like I'm pigeonholed. All right, 1 through 3.
There's DEFCON 0, 1, and 2.
So DEF for a scale of 1 to 3, I don't know, probably a 1.86.
I'm right about there. I'm like not. I'm a. So the
this
threat,
is such a stupid scale.
The threat level is activated. I will say that.
Yeah,
but it's just above its lowest level.
There's no basketball being played, so I think that's why mine's a little high.
Yeah, that's fair.
Another thing we got in this worry alert. We're really look. We hope everyone had a good election. We're starting you off stressed.
It's time to get concerned.
Yeah. When do we start to freak out about Mook? Recently?
Yesterday.
Okay. I think he's already got a deal in place with the Clippers. I'm basing that on nothing, but I think they got something through text messages done.
I'm hoping that there is something in the works. The thing is, and I've said this time and time again, if you don't listen to the show every day, this to me is the biggest free agency signing for the Clippers this offseason. This is this to me is how I will be judging their offseason from a free agency asset perspective.
For sure.
The thing to remember is Morris did turn down $41 million with the Clips last offseason.
Which was Clutch's fault.
To take a $20 million one-year deal with the Knicks. And he did fire Clutch for that.
Yeah.
And then, in more Morris firing news, he recently left Roc Nation along with his brother. They signed with Shafiq Fields of the Wasserman Agency.
Of course.
So, my question is, I mean, this guy isn't even sticking with an agent for a whole year.
Okay.
We think he's going to come back to the Clips for multiple years. Your agent is your best friend. Everyone knows that.
No, I mean, I think it's fine. I think the Clippers lock up a deal. I think it's probably 3 years or something like that. Do we want him to sign both Morris twins?
So interesting. No, I wasn't sure if this was the first time they'd been repped together. They've always been repped together since Clutch.
They have this. They literally have the same tattoos.
I love it. So I think in the situation for signing both of them, if you can get it done for the right price, I'm really not mad at Keith coming off the bench at the four with Jamike at the five. Maybe we get another prototypical size center. Shout out Nerlens Noel.
Yeah.
If you're out there listening, we'd love to have
you.
We'd love to have you on the squad. So I'm freaked out about this on a level of 1 to 3. I'm a 3 worried about Marcus Morris. I just think that
I'm at a 3, dude.
I'm at a 3. I think that, you know, it's such an important signing. I think that he earned it. I thought that his play was really solid in the bubble, and he was one of the dudes who in the starting lineup who still brought.
He showed up.
He showed up all the time. And I'm not saying that other people didn't the whole time.
He was there the whole time.
But you just know what you're getting with Morris. I think he's a consistent enough dude. And even at 31, I still think he's a pretty safe signing.
Agreed. It's going to be interesting to see. That's going to be mostly what Clippers fans are focusing on. And then real quick, before we head on to the last 5 season power rankings from Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
Did we grab the right coach at the right time?
So I pose this question just because we grabbed the best available coach. I don't think that that's debatable. My question is it the right coach at the right time? Just being Ty likes to experiment. This is going to be the shortest lead up, you know, that he's going to have into a season.
Yeah.
Not a lot of prep time. Staff, once again, like we said earlier, isn't finalized.
Bit up in the air for sure.
Is the timing situation going to be a bit too much to bite off in one chew for Ty Lue?
If we were the only team who got a new coach who has contending ideas, I'd be a little more worried. But I think he's built for it.
I think so too.
I think we're good. Like, he likes experimenting, so it's not like he's going to be like, shit, I really got to throw some stuff together. I'm not used to doing that. Like, I think that helps him.
I got to agree with you. And this one for me is a low threat level. So we'll finish out with that one. Finish on a positive note. Because, you know, I look at, I don't know, man. I look at just a coaching situation like across the hall, like where Vogel comes in. And I just think that the biggest situation is getting the players on the same page and then the coach getting out of their own way. And I think that Ty Lue is probably the best candidate available to do that. So I'm not worried about that one.
Okay. There we go. You're at a 0.1 threat level for that on a scale of 1 to 3.
The threat level's not even activated.
Okay, that's good. Coming up, we're going to be talking the last 5 season power rankings and a bit of just some draft questions.
Okay, so Bleacher Report did a power ranking of all 30 NBA teams on their last 5 seasons.
Yes.
I don't think that it was super accounting for the future or anything.
No.
Clippers were 9. On that list, which,
you know, last 5 seasons we had like the, it's hard to not look at this through the lens of a Clippers fan. Cause I'm like, I'm like the 48 win season is the best, you know, like that the 42 and 40 season is insanely good to me. Like, yeah, we missed the playoffs, but that team had no, what was going to happen in the playoffs with that team.
Agreed.
But I mean, 9 feels a little low.
9 feels a little off to me. I'm not saying that we're leagues ahead of this. I would put us at a solid 7, though.
Yeah.
A couple of teams that were ahead of the Clippers, per Bleacher Report, as I said. The Thunder, Which last 5 years, I don't know about that one, man. A perennial first round exit team, and then like, you know, they were exciting.
So that's the thing. We didn't make that one.
We missed one playoff in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And
Bleacher Report really weights that pretty heavily.
The Jazz were also ahead of us, which a little bit of a toss up to me. I mean, I would say certainly since like getting Donovan, you know, they've been thought of as, you know, on that cuspiness of contendership. So I could maybe see that one. What's that?
Who was number one?
The Warriors.
That makes sense.
Raptors too.
Okay, yeah, that's
fine. One interesting thing was the Lakers were placed below us at 13, which
makes total sense.
I think it makes total sense, you know, given everything outside of like the last season.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And then another team that I thought was a little puzzling that was above us was the Spurs, which...
That's the Popovich vote right there, I think. I think they get that because of that situation.
And, like, they're a team that has been, you know, dominant for so long, obviously. But they haven't won a championship in the last 5 years. I don't know. I don't know. They've also missed the playoffs one time in that 5 years.
The one that pisses me off the most, we're behind the Cavs.
They did win a chip, and they did go to a bunch of finals.
Yeah, I'm just, but now it's funny because you look at it now, and it's like, all right, so I'm looking at it as basically worst year versus worst year.
Yes.
I'm a Clippers fan, so our best year is the second round.
Yeah.
So, like, worst year versus worst year, I'm like, come on, man. Like, no, this is interesting. I like that this is coming out. I'm going to bookmark this for in 5 years we can revisit it.
Hey-o.
After Ty Lue's contract.
Are you going to make a call over there?
Hey,
Mr. Bleacher?
Yeah, Mr. Bleacher, I got something to say about your reports. No, I guess, you know, top 10 makes sense. You're right. I don't think we're not going to be top five, obviously. We don't have the playoff run to go. So I guess the Cavs being ahead of us makes sense.
But I think that makes sense. I'm kind of still firmly at 7. I would still put us above OKC. I mean, I think you have to put us above OKC, but once again, this is coming from a Clippers fan. I think that we're worthy of vaulting over the Jazz or the Spurs over the last 5 years, but hey, I'll leave that up to the list.
Next 5 years, we're going to be in the top five.
Yeah.
I bet. Let's hope so. No, I'm excited for more of these kind of power rankings to come out. Again, so I like the Clippers being number 9 on this list because it's just kind of in the middle. No one's talking any shit about it. If we were put any higher, I feel like people would be upset. So, again, this kind of goes back to our back to the shadows idea for the Clippers.
Definitely.
Of, like, just kind of stay low-key on these lists and these giant season previews that are going to come out. Like, let's be at the bottom of the fold on the page for all the marketing people out there. Like, yeah, let's just – I'm fine with this. This brings no unwanted attention to the Clippers.
Yeah. So this is a weird tangent, but the last 5 years is also a popular Broadway musical about a couple who is going through a breakup, and it frames
a musical.
It like frames through a fight there, like the last 5 years of their relationship.
Yeah.
What's the opening song to the Clippers' last 5 years Broadway musical?
Oh, wow.
I think mine is "Why Did We Give Up So Many Picks for Paul George?"
Oh, this is like an original song?
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say "Walking on the Sun."
all right. Well, you know what? I'm accepting that too. That's incredible.
No, I think if you made a musical of the last 5 years of Clippers, it'd be kind of boring. There'd be a bunch of big trades and stuff.
How is that boring?
You know, because then like, not
that's
a whole
true.
Lot
I don't even know what
like
I don't know what characters would be the main ones because that have been there through the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's like Lawrence Frank.
It's just it's through the perspective of Doc, or it's Lawrence Frank's first day as GM, and it's like, where am I?
It's like, it's just Larry and Steve.
Yeah. That'd be a pretty good. I'd watch a musical about Steve Ballmer. As long as he didn't finance any of it. All right. So now the Knicks have our first round pick that we gave them in that deal for Mook. They're at 27. Bleacher Report has them mocking taking Nico Mannion.
Yes, I think so.
Italian dude. Arizona freshman point guard. If you have Instagram and you've watched basketball highlights on Instagram, you've seen this huge ginger dude. Like, there's really funny clips of him like beating everybody and a bunch of people being mad because he's like a goofy looking ginger dude.
He's he's not that big though. He's like 6'3", 190.
He's so skinny is the thing. There's a note in here that he kind of looks like me, which, hey, you know what? I'll let you guys Google that and figure that out yourself. he definitely doesn't have the quarantine mustache I have. I don't think, are we, like, what do we think the Clippers would have done at 27? I think the Clippers at 27 is exactly the same as them picking at 57. I don't have faith in the draft, in the Clippers draft.
You bring up a good point. I mean, it's, yeah, it's from an operational standpoint, the exact same. I mean, we're not, there's just not a whole lot we can do with a young prospect. And I would be interested in taking a guard at this number. He's one of these guys who could be expected to be a value just due to some shooting splits. He fell a little bit. So he was kind of inconsistent. His finishing splits were 39, 33, 80. So the shot's not broken.
39 is rough.
Yeah. But it's not great. And apparently some of this was just due to some slumps that he went through the regular season, which kind of pushed those numbers. Yeah. He was the only freshman in the country to average at least 14 points and 5 assists a game.
Oh, okay.
He finished with 14, 3, and 5. Was named to the Pac-12 All-Freshman Team for my obscure award heads out there.
That's what's up.
So I don't know. The
Clippers seem to want every wing, so we probably would have taken a dude who played, you know, at a JUCO who was really good and like, oh, it's a big project.
In the first round?
I don't know. I don't trust the Clippers drafting very much.
I hoped we would have at least gone international in the first round.
So that's what I really want to happen with this late pick. Yeah. Pick a kid who's played against adults. Like,
do you think that...
Again, if you guys haven't heard of
Yamandar,
that's who the Clippers need to take.
I love how high you are on Yam.
I've never been higher on a second round draft pick in my life.
Yam over here.
I'm serious. He's going to be good. He's going to be serviceable.
I think he's a super interesting player. The one question that I have that I'm wondering about this draft is that I wonder if due to travel restrictions, you know, with essentially everything getting shut down in March, if that changed the ability for some team scouts to be able to kind of work as they would internationally, because I would think
that's a good call. You're over there in Yemen or something and you're just locked down. You're like, well,
yeah, we talked about this before in the podcast, but I do think that this is one of the wildest, most volatile drafts.
Yeah.
This is a good draft to have a 57th pick in, because it's, it's all win either way. It's a win.
Yeah. Or it's a loss.
I mean,
or you take Jay Scrub.
It's a win or it's nothing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no one's going to be like, you took who with the 57th pick, you idiots?
Yeah, like, I think that this is going to end up being one of those when they do like the 3 years later mock drafts, like one of those ones that's super goofy. And I could be wrong on that, but...
Yeah, Yam's going to be in the top 15. We'll have snagged him at 57, baby. Coming up in Shavings, we're going to be talking Kawhi, maybe sending a pretty funny gift to Snoop Dogg, and some Paul George... engagement news.
Okay, so we're back with some Shavings, which if you're new to the show, it's just kind of where we open up that kitchen drawer everybody has of the NBA and
what's rattling around.
Like, see what's in there. See what loose ends are in there. So Kawhi sent Snoop some New Balances,
which I like. Which also, did you didn't purchase any of the Jolly Rancher line or anything?
I didn't. No, okay. I actually have yet to make a New Balance basketball purchase. I'm more of a lifestyle kind of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, the lifestyle is like it's the coolest stuff that they make. My favorite Kawhis are the 574s I have that Casey got me.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are my favorite, because those are the more like normal look. I can wear those to like work.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm a fan of the Omni. Like, as far as basketball shoes go, I think it's like a pretty clean silhouette. Looks good.
Yeah.
I just don't have any use for the pair.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it doesn't look good with like pants.
Yeah,
if you will. But yeah, Kawhi sent some of the Jolly Rancher New Balances to Snoop Dogg, which is pretty funny, right? Is that a subtle?
I was gonna say, is this like a is this a troll? Is this like a fun double bird from the fun guy?
I think this is definitely a fun double bird from the fun guy, and I love it. I also think it's probably like, because you know all these guys at the end of the day, it's like Kawhi's not like. I hate it. I mean, maybe Lakers fans do hate Kawhi, so I don't know. Well, I think this is a double bird.
Did bag on him after the Game 7 performance. Like, I mean, somewhat rightfully so, I suppose. So, yes, I do think that this is a bit of a troll, and I love it. If you don't know this about Charles and I, we love pettiness in sports.
Oh, yeah. It's only in sports.
It's probably second to actual outcomes is the pettiness level.
Yeah, for sure. So I hope there's more of this. I hope we send some to Ice Cube. Actually, you know what?
O'Shea.
I hope he doesn't send him to Ice Cube. I hope he sends him to Ice Cube's son, O'Shea. Yeah, that's a good time. And then, a bunch of Clippers had something to say about what's his name trying to claim victory in the presidential election, even though he was handedly beat. Shout out to everyone who voted, by the way.
Yeah, way to vote.
Way to vote. Lou Will posted, was like, he, was it like, get the F out of here, Don, or something like that?
On Twitter, he just posted a simple cap.
Good times. You know, a quote tweet with a cap, that's a dagger in the heart.
I love it.
Yeah, Pat Bev had something to say, too. I'm pretty sure Patrick Patterson put up, there's a scene in Avengers where one of the bad guy snap, I don't, something bad happens in Avengers to the bad guy.
Oh.
And Patrick Patterson posted that. Safe to say, most NBA players seem pretty happy with the outcome of the election, which I think we're recording this on Sunday. I'm pretty sure they're done counting votes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll see. TBD, TBD. That,
yeah.
Wrong podcast for that. Check us out on Locked On Poly. For,
yeah. Not to be confused with Locked On Poly Part 2, which is a very different podcast. But yeah, it seems like people are pretty psyched. Yeah, I really love that. Like, I mean, a bunch of the voting centers were used in the NBA. Like, a lot of the stuff that came from the bubble was helpful for the democratic process.
Yes.
There wasn't as many gains as people wanted, which I can totally agree with and understand with.
Yeah.
In terms of like social justice-ness, which is hard to quantify sometimes.
You mean from the...
From the bubble specifically, from everything the players wanted.
Yeah.
But, you know, having all the arenas open for voting, making it easier, like, hats off. The NBA did a great job. And the WNBA did a damn good job, too.
Ooh, the WNBA maybe did the best job with some of their messaging and some of the stuff they did. Wow.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
Shout out to the National Basketball Association, both sides. And then finally, Paul George getting married.
Yeah.
Love it.
Two ring season incoming.
Let's hope so. Yeah, he has two children with his fiance, which is great. Yeah, you know, shout out to Paul George.
So this, this has to mellow dude out on social media now, right? Isn't that what happens when you get married? Don't you have to delete your social media
accounts? I don't think
so. All right.
Well. I hope it kind of, you know, I think it'll chill them out. I think it's going to, it's probably peace of mind. We also don't know when they're going to get married.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not like a weird quarantine thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think that his children will call him dad now instead of Mr. George?
Mr. George, it's me. No, but yeah, shout out to PG. Hope it's a good time.
Yeah.
Hope it's not a quarantine wedding. Hope they wait a bit till everything's a little more chill.
Yeah, I don't know. He's in that wealth stratosphere where I'm like, he can do the, you know, everybody quarantine for 2 months and then we just acted like everything was normal for a day.
Yeah.
And they're in outer space on their wedding or whatever.
They're in a space wedding where the help is still having to wear masks and you're like, wait, how come he has to wear a mask? Like, well, they want to be safe. But we're rich in space. We're a PG space wedding, baby. Which Clipper do you think isn't getting invited to the wedding?
Ooh, good question.
I hope Zoo goes, because I bet Zoo at weddings, I bet that's a fun time.
Oh, that's a good call, man. Zoo at a wedding would be a fun time. I'm going to guess that it is Patrick Beverly, and not because of anything personal. He just sometimes gets a little too rowdy on the dance floor and it's like, yo man, I got my grandparents here. Like,
dude,
I mean, he ended up with no shirt last time. I just don't know what to make of this.
That's a good call. He's there for the after party.
Doesn't even show up to the service.
Yeah. It's just like, what time's the dinner? I'll be at the rehearsal dinner and the reception. I'm not going to the service. That's a good time. I think that about wraps it up for Shavings, right?
Yeah, I think that's all we got.
Let's get out of here. On Tuesday's episode, it will be Twitter Tuesday. So send those questions into @LockedOnClips, @CharlesMockler, or @WillUpdyke. More draft talking for sure. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. If you're listening to us, thank you. If you want to tell your friends to listen to us, where can they listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe. I mean, it really helps us out. If you like what we're doing over here and you feel so inclined to leave a review, hey, we'd love it. Might read it on air. Thank you so much for rocking with us. Like we said, the season is getting alarmingly close. So please stay locked into Locked On Clippers for all your Clippers updates 5 days a week.
And I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.